No, I'm talking about revival. It's not a series. I was thinking, is this a series? Like some pastors like to say, yeah, it's a series on revival. It's not a series, but the Lord is putting things in my heart and He's reminding me things about things and He's showing me the result of the revival. I was talking like 3 weeks ago about the revival general, like what we are praying for in this church. When you say this church, maybe say, I'm part of this church. I'm not praying about revival. How you say this church? But this is the vision for this church. You know, we have people already join me, join us on Sunday night, join in that the same understanding that God want, what God wants for His church. And we believe that we are part of the last church. Amen? Oh, I forgot to bring a video. I'll bring next time. I'll show tonight. Then I'll next week too. It's talking about the lady prophesying about reviving, about the next generation. When she started prophesying about the next generation, that happened in Toronto. And it was, wow, that's great. That's great. We are also preparing the next generation. Because if my son sees me and Patricia doing nothing, if they see me reading the Bible and not put into practice, not excited what God is and what He's doing and He will do, and if he sees me not believing when I have to believe, not speaking when I have to speak, not being courageous when I have to be courageous, so how can I prepare the next generation? At least my son, he has two choices. Do by himself or going somewhere to find some people that encourage him and teach him and do things. Or don't do anything and keep the same level and the same comfort zone. And when that prophecy was like, wow, touched me. Because yes, I'm doing things, and I know I'm doing things for this church, for my family, for the world and everything. But I'm also preparing the path, the way for the next generation. So we are responsible for the next generation. Oh no, God is, and He's using us. Okay. It's very important. And then something God put in my heart is very clear. That's what I'm saying all the time. So revival has to start inside of us. For in each one of us, revival comes from inside out. So when we receive, when we relate with God, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and then something has to change inside of us first. I cannot give you anything. I cannot give you a cell phone if I don't have a cell phone. So when I have something inside of me, the anointing is in me. The power of God is in me. So I can give you something. If I love, I have the love of God inside of me, I can love you the way Lord God loved me. So we have to work inside of us first. And that revival, that fire, that energy, that, you know, woo, we contaminate, we'll touch other lives. And I believed, few months ago, when we started, Bryce started the series, he started talking about revival on Sunday evenings. And then I said, you know, has to reflect, has to affect the church in the morning as well. Because the revival will change us first, and then it's from inside out. So has to, you know, we give fruits. So has to affect. Church has to affect our family, has to affect the people outside that don't know Jesus Christ. So revival is that. And last week he was talking to us about speaking the word. And the end of everything, the Lord said, I was talking about boldness. Be bold. And this is the scriptures in my heart. I'm repeating and repeating and repeating. In my praying this morning was this, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Boldness again. Speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands and performs miracles, signs, wonderful miracles and signs through the name of her holy servant, Jesus Christ. So we preach with boldness. We speak the word with boldness. We not only preach when I have chance, like, oh, Jeff had a chance. He spoke with boldness. He came. Not only here, everywhere you go. Matthew 10, 18. I read last week, again, 18 to 20. Matthew is talking about that. So when you are, when you stand in front of governors, kings, as witnesses for them and for the Gentiles. So we are witnesses. We are representing God. We are, when you say something, something has to happen. You know, the signs, wonders, and miracles will follow the word of God. So when you ask the Lord, Lord, enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. When you go to talk with your boss, when you go to talk with your teacher, when you go to talk with the principal, when you go to talk with a friend, a son, on streets, give boldness to speak the word. That's part of the revival. It's moving inside of us. Now you're not shy to speak the word anymore. You know the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And it's through us, church. It's through us. Amen. Hallelujah. It's through us. So when you have a chance, speak the word with great boldness. Amen. This morning, I want you to open your mouth. You can open your mouth and speak the word. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew 14, 22. This is the scripture I'm going to use, it because it's an easy one. Everybody, not everybody, but most of you know the scripture when Jesus Christ walked on the water. 14, 22. And this is part of this revival message. Ooh, now we are confident to speak the word. We are confident to stand before governors, leaders. Doesn't matter who is the person. Doesn't matter who is the circumstance. Doesn't matter, because if you are there, that scripture is saying that I will give the word to say at the right time, you is not you. I'm going to speak through you. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. My words. So it's God through us. Ooh, that's revival. When you seek the Lord, when you love the Lord and want more from Him, and He starts putting words in your mouth, you see the result. And you feel like, woo, I want more. I want more. I want more. Boldness when somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to kill you. I can kill you right now. And you say, no, you can't, because the greater one is in me. That's boldness. I didn't know. But was. Today I want to talk about courage, because it's part of the revival. If God is moving in you, and then through you, something's going to happen. You need boldness to deliver the word. You need boldness to do something. But you also need courage to do something. Courage to face the tough days in your life. When somebody comes to me, I'm facing a tough time. I'm not coming to church because this. I have no time to go. I said, no, it's the opposite. When you're facing tough time in your life, when you don't know what to do, you need courage to step on, to step and move forward. And then say, no, I'll seek the Lord. That's courage. The Lord is always giving us something to do. Always something to do. As Christians, we'll never stop and sit and not doing anything. Because He's waiting for us. He wants more people getting saved. This is what is in God's... Everything, church. You know, everything is happening. The way God is moving in us and through us. You know, don't feel like proud because God is doing because of me. No. He already reached your life. He has you. Of course, there's a salvation package we are enjoying every day. But it's not about me, about me. It's about them. He's using us to reach out the lost. Because in the heart of God, He wants everyone to be saved. And they don't know. Because when I talk with people, I still hearing like, Jesus? No, you know, yeah, I know Jesus. Patricia was studying English, like so many people from different countries. And there's so many countries, they don't even heard about Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I was reading a news, and I know China is persecuting Christians again. Closing church, putting the cross down again. And so the news were talking about like little and small groups of people getting together again because it's hard to go to church now. It's getting harder and harder. Revival. We need a revival. We need to work together. We need to understand what we are in Christ Jesus, what we have and what we can do. Can you imagine if the government of Canada does that? Say, no, we're going to, police will stay in front of this church, not allowing us. If you come here, they'll put pressure on us and then they try to close this church. They won't. Are we stopping getting together to praise and worship the Lord? No. My house is open. You can go there. I don't know if it's too big. But I know Bryce's house, Ali's house, Mary's house, Cindy's house, Kelly's house, Sylvie's house. Our house are open. That's why we need a revival. Nothing. Revival will make us not to stop doing what God called us. Because we have the love of God in us and we want to see that person outside saved. Saved. And that's awesome. And we need courage. I'll read the scripture for you. You know, but I will read again. I love this scripture. Leo, I think Leo is going to show us. Can we? Okay. Immediately, Jesus made the disciple get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was ahead a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Verse 26 or 5 says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And 29 says, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, and he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So it's a very known scripture. We know we preach a lot about that, and it's really good and powerful scripture. And I want to take like few things, maybe three or four important words or statements Jesus made here. The first one is, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Jesus made, I never paid attention to that, he made them to go. So, Ali, go. take the boat, cross the lake. Can you imagine? Because you say, uh-oh, it's late. It was about 6 p.m. It's late, windy, it's dangerous. Last time we got a storm, but Jesus was in the boat. Now he's not in the boat, asking us to go? Ooh. You know, and he doesn't, you know, situations when we have, when Jesus tells us to do something, that's the point. It's not a trap. It's not a trap. If Jesus tells you to give, like I said, give. I believe it's a trap. I won't pay my rent. I want to pay because I'm going to give my money. Or, I have to. Oh, no. I think Jesus, it's going to be dangerous. Jesus, it's not a trap. He's not doing anything like that. When Jesus says, go, we go. That's part of our life with him, relationship with him. We trust. He tells us, go, get into the boat and go. We just do it because he's not doing anything against us. He'll never do anything against us. The next thing he put in my heart, he doesn't want to teach us using the enemy's weapon. I said that before here many times. I'll make Delson suffer. I'll make this disciple suffer and then some of them will die to learn a lesson. No, he'll never do that. That's what the enemy wants to scare us, put fear on us. He doesn't want to do that, church. So situations in our lives, sometimes it's really hard. We are facing problems, troubles. And it's don't think that God put that in my heart, in my life just to teach me something. No. That happened for some reason. The enemy is trying to mess it up your life. The enemy is trying to put fear on you. Or maybe it's your disobedience. Maybe it's you not getting what Jesus is telling you. Maybe someone else. Maybe it's people. Oh, I got fired. God fired me. I know it was God. Now I have no money. No, he's teaching. No, maybe it's just your boss. The company is... It's not doing good. So because someone is not doing what's right, because someone is not even obeying the Lord and know the Lord or using the money the wrong way, so the company is not doing good, and he fired. He closed the doors. I mean, you know, happen. Or maybe the Lord said, don't go, don't work in that company. And he said, you know, I don't care. I'll not listen to you. I'm not listening to you. So you have to work on Sundays. You have to work on this. You have to work on that. So you are not going to church anymore. You're not fellowship anymore. You have no time to pray anymore. And then you say, it's the Lord putting that suffering in my life to learn. No, it's not the Lord. Maybe you didn't obey. Not you. Somebody else. Didn't obey the Lord and it's working in a place that he shouldn't work, or maybe he's working, but he's working in the shift that is not allowing him to fellowship with the Lord. With, you know, I will always tell you that if you come to me, sorry, it's not a doctrine, okay? Delson's doctrine I'm creating here. I just don't like when someone has to work on Sundays. If you tell me, so no, I'm going to work on Sundays, but I can hear the message through the website, through the radio. I can go once in a while on Wednesday life group. I can go. Just be careful. For a few weeks, okay, training, purpose. Why I don't like? Because 95 or 98% of people that started working on Sundays, they are not serving anymore. They are not strong anymore. They are not fellowshipping anymore. They are kind of out of family. Sometimes I feel out of my family. I have like my niece got married. Was my nephew's birthday. Last month was two nieces. One niece celebrating. I feel like I'm out of my family. I'm not enjoying. I'm not celebrating. Because I'm here. It's a natural thing. But when people start working and doing things, and they say, okay, but because the church won't pay my rent, the church won't pay my bills. I know, but God will. And God wants something else, something else from us. He loves to fellowship. He called us church. He called us to get together as one. And I believe it's really important. If it wasn't important, God won't call us to be together. So this is an extra. There's one situation in Genesis 50 when Joseph, you know Joseph, right away when I was meditating on this and situations happening in our lives, Joseph came to my heart because he was facing Genesis 50. He was facing so many problems in his life since the beginning. The brother sold him as a slave. And was good because they supposed to kill him. So he was sold as a slave. He was suffering. He was doing great again and then had a problem. Went to jail again. Jail again. Problem. Whole life having problems. And the end of the story, because he never stopped believing in God, this is the end of his story. And in the verse 19, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, because he was talking with his brothers. Jacob was dead, and then the brothers came. They were afraid. What's going to happen? And he said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. So it doesn't matter the circumstances. I'll finish it. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Oh, I think I missed. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. I missed that part. Okay, you have there. This is very important. Church, be courageous, because it doesn't matter the circumstance we are facing right now. Because we are on fire for God. We trust in God. We don't want to make mistakes. We want to keep serving Him. We understand that it doesn't matter the circumstance in our lives. We are on fire for Him. We love Him. We trust in Him like Joseph. Doesn't matter if you go before governors. If they arrest you, I'll give you the words to speak with great boldness. It's going to be me, not you. If someone sells you as a slave, or if you are a slave of a situation in your life right now, don't curse God. Don't say God don't see you. God is not taking care of you. God is not. No. In that situation, it wasn't God, because he doesn't use the enemy's weapon. But you know, Joseph, all the time, every time he had chance, he was glorifying the name of the Lord. So it doesn't matter the situation you are facing right now. To be courageous is when you say, okay, Lord, I will trust in you until the end. Oh, my situation is too bad, so it's not the end. Oh, my situation is too tough. I don't know what to do. Okay, God will tell you what to do. Keep seeking Him. And then he said, there's a purpose. God wasn't doing bad things to Joseph. It wasn't God. God was protecting him. It's different. When you say, my marriage is not doing good. Oh, that happened. Oh, that, oh, this or that. So, you know, so God, what God you want from me? So it's not God. You have to fix the situation. God actually is helping you to fix the situation. He's not causing any problem. He's helping you. When someone, if you remember, if you start thinking, I don't like to think about problems I had in the past. But if you have like 5 seconds to think about situations you were living like a few years ago, and you said, there's no way, no hope, it's done, I'm dead. And now you are here celebrating Jesus Christ. So you are not. If you are facing something right now, believe, because Joseph says, you know, I will go through this. Because, you know, through this, I will, when I leave this situation, I will be stronger. I will be like able to do much more for the Lord. And that happened, wasn't the Lord, but he helped me to to come to this place and this place, because now I'm really, really on fire for Him, and I trust in Him. He saved me so many times. I can tell people, I can save people, I can help, like He said here. He turned to good. For good. To accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. Why Jesus, God saved you from that problem you had in the past? Because He wants you strong today to save people's lives. I will provide for you and your children, Joseph said. So, because He wants to use you to provide to someone else, to your family, to your children, to your brothers, to your sisters, to people from outside showing the love. Sometimes we show the love of God giving something. We see a homeless and it's done. I don't give money for those guys asking for money. I don't give. I said, are you hungry? I can give you some food. But I know some of them isn't like... It's for drugs. I need my cigarette. I'm addicted on cigarette. I said, you know, I want to help you. But if you are hungry, if you are cold, if you have time, I can share something with you. But this is what I do. I'm here. God saved me from my past. He saved me like last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to me to be here to spread the gospel, to help someone to prosper. So this is why we are here, church. The second point is very important. It's when He says, take courage. Take courage. He's not saying, you know, I have courage, so okay, it's okay for you. No, say, you have to do something. You have to take courage. You have to believe. You have to act. You have to do something. Take courage. Do something. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So in every situation, God is with us. You can open if you want. So there's a story. There's a story. It's a real story in Acts 23 and 27. That's important for me to share with you. Acts 23, verse 11. The Lord is talking with Paul and said, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. It's there, Acts 23:11. The same way you testified here in Jerusalem, you must go. And testify in Rome. So the Lord is sending him. Again, Lord sending him. The same way He's sending us, church. He's sending us. Every day we have a mission. Every day. And again, the same way Jesus sent those guys to go and cross the lake. And they were facing a big storm again. And it wasn't Jesus trying to prove something to them or teach them with that situation. But He used that situation to turn to good. And the same way with Paul. He said, this is what God said. I'm sending you. The same way you preached here in Jerusalem. You have to go in Rome. You're going to stand before leaders there, before governors. You need to be bold to speak to them. You need to have boldness to open your mouth and knowing that I'm going to speak through you. And now he's saying in Acts 27, I'm not going to read everything. But Paul said, you know, you shouldn't go. He was in the boat. Paul was in the boat going to Rome because God told him to go. But he saw the situation, the ocean and everything, the wind, and was too windy and dangerous. He said, we should stay here and spend the night. But the verse in Acts 27, verse, I'll read from 10. Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo. and to our own lives also. He thought, whoa, it's going to be dangerous. But the centurion, instead of listening to Paul, what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. And this is important, 12. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. This is important because now, again, it wasn't God. God wasn't testing Paul in his faith. But people that didn't know God, didn't hear him, and said, let's go. So Paul was there. He was a prisoner. He was there. And again, the devil came to start to destroy his life. And he said, we should stay. But this is very important because the guy said, you know, the majority decided. And sometimes in our lives, what God put in our heart to do, not everybody will agree with you. Not the majority will agree with you. And also, the majority, they have no... They are not right all the time because they are majority. Sometimes we think like that. So, you know, oh, most of people are saying, let's go and do it. So let's go and do it. No, hear the Lord, what He wants to say, what He's saying to you. Oh, everybody works on Sunday morning, Sundays. It's okay. Everybody, almost everybody. The majority works now because Canada is like that. Is that right? I don't think. Everybody comes to me and says, I'm going to, well, Pastor, I'm not coming to church for maybe 1 month, 2, 3 months because, you know, I have to work, I have to pay my bills. And said, you know, I'm going to pray for the Lord to open a new door for you, a better one, or maybe to change your shift. I'm very clear about that. I've heard a few times, so you are not paying my bills, so I have to work. I said, no, I'm not. But the Lord is, and the Lord wants more than that. But this is, again, it's not because the majority. It's because Paul heard from the Lord. So when you hear from the Lord, like, you have to obey. To be a leader is like that. If you're a leader in your home, like I'm a father. No, I talk to Patricia, I talk to the kids, and so different opinions. So maybe the three of them say that they are majority. They say, yes, we should go and do this. And I feel in my spirit, no, we won't do it. It's not because three of them want to do. It's because the Lord is saying, don't do it. Church is the same. So many times, so many people came to me, hey, Pastor, we should do like this. Ooh, it's good, it's good, it's good. So the Lord said, no, and no. Maybe we should have the church the way that those churches are growing, doing. So no, let's do church this way because this is us. This is our flavor. This is what He wants to do. I've met someone last week, and she said, I'm going to another church. I won't say the name. And said, you know, but I really need to come back to my church. It was this church or Word in Action at that time. And I said, yeah, you should come back. Yes, I miss to have fellowship. I miss having fellowship. I miss, it's good to go to church and hear a good message and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and go home. It's good. But I want a fellowship. I think she missed praying for one another. I think she missed being part of that. She said, it's impossible to be part of the worship. It's too big. It's difficult. So this is a church for people that really like and love to have a community. God's family. It's important. I love family. Paul said, and then you know what happened? Paul was facing a tough time, the storm and everything. But she said, he. It's one gender. He can choose. No. Acts 27:21, he keeps talking about that. He said, you should listen to me, Oh, that's good when you say, hey, you should listen to me. But he said in verse 22nd verse, says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the sheep will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. And 25 said, so keep up your courage, man. Paul is saying, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. That's why we are here, church. That's why he's telling us, keep courage. Take courage. Take courage. Doesn't matter the circumstance. God told us to be here. God told us to be in that position in the future. God gave us a vision to go. God put in our hearts to save the lost people. God put in our heart to teach the word of God. God put in our heart to training people, equipping people, to give people opportunities to serve, to grow in their calling. So don't be afraid. Don't worry about anything. He said, oh, you know, in God that it will happen just as he told me. It's going to happen. Because Paul knew who I belong. I know who I belong. I know who I serve. And I know who I believe. He said three important things. So the same thing God did in the past, in that situation, that storm in your life, and saved you. Because he wanted you to be here today. He won't be different. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. Take courage. He's protecting you. He's teaching you. He's leading you through the storm. Always. Developing your character through the storm. Improving your faith through the storm. That's why he says, take courage. Hey guys, those guys in the boat, they were shaking, afraid. They were. And the third thing is, when Peter realized that it was Joe, who are you? And he heard Jesus Christ saying, come. That's the third important point in our lives. When Jesus says, come, you better not believe that everybody will come with you, because nobody jumped on the water with Peter. The guys were inside of the boat. And that brings discouragement for the church sometimes. People get so discouraged because they say, no, I'm jumping on the water. I can die, but I believe in God. I'm going to walk. So God called me. I'm doing, hey, come, Mary. Come with me. Mary? And she decided to stay on the boat. Can I use you an example? Because you were not on the boat. You jumped on the water already.
Many times.
So he's preparing for us. He's teaching us. He's encouraging us. He's building up our faith, like I said, our character. He's training us. He's doing, because he wants to say come. He wants to bring to our lives new things. New things to our lives. Most of us get a little bit of discouraged, or we are not so brave when we face something new in our lives. It's hard. When it's new, it's new. That's why it's important not to believe that the majority has the right, so it's doing right. It's very important. He's preparing us. See, this, when something is new, but you received from the Lord, It's a direction from the Lord. It's this. And you know that God is with you. And have courage. And you say, go, I will step on the water. I will believe, Lord. I will come. I will jump on the water and walk on the water. When you say that, expecting for everybody to know, not everybody will hear. Or not everybody will understand. Or everybody, not everybody will be in the same level of faith. Not everybody will be in agreement with you. Not everybody. We don't have to condemn. We don't have to curse anybody. So now I'm doing this. I'm believing. I'm jumping on the water. So you know, come on, Ali. You are not believing. Come on. No, you're a coward. No. We have to understand that sometimes God is calling us to do something. Then when you jump on the water and start walking, maybe people will stay. In this story, people were in the boat, on the boat. And Jesus Christ came to the boat. And the storm was done. So Peter, he did something and then blessed everyone in that boat, because the rain stopped, the wind and everything. Paul was in that boat facing troubles, but because of his courage, he was seeking the Lord and believing the Lord, because the Lord put a word in his heart. He was alone, but God called him to be there in Rome. So everyone, they lost the boat, but everyone were saved. And he fulfilled the assignment. When Peter, when Joseph, when... So God is preparing us, is asking us, take courage. Don't give up. Because I want you in this position. Because through you, many more people will be blessed. Many people will be saved. Many people will be encouraged. Don't stop because someone else is not jumping on the water with you. Because it's between you and God. And He is going to add people. He is going to put people in your way to help you. You just need courage to believe and put some action on that. So that's He's preparing us for new things. And every day we have new things happening in our lives, like I said. Every day I put some new things. One thing is this. When you have a personal calling, do not expect to everyone to follow you, because the personal calling will affect their lives. Will bring people with you for sure. I had a personal calling to come to Canada. It was a personal calling. I was facing troubles, problems. I was in the middle of the storm. You know that story. But I believe I was... I think the Lord said, take courage, because a lot of courage to do what I did. Today I understand. But you know, more people are coming. But because I kept believing, because I'm keeping doing what He called me to do, the same way with you, the same way with other people. So we have to keep believing. We have to understand that God is the one is bringing us to the position He called us to be. It's not someone else. If Ali doesn't come, I won't go. No, it's not a. If he doesn't come, I'll keep going. You have a calling. God called you. If nobody comes, but God said, but you have to hear the voice of the Lord. Come. Even if it's completely out of sense or different. But when you hear it, don't expect for people. But they will come. They will come because of your faithfulness. We started ministry in this man's house. We are there, loving them, serving them. You know, it's a pleasure. We started with the Titus, Dita. They went there once. And then I said, okay, I want to go and know what's happening. Now we have a party and Gerald, the whole family, Arthur, Anthony. We have Todd helping us. We have this. So Elizabeth came once, like I said before. So more people are joining us. But it started with one. With one. So God is giving new things for us. And when He gives new things for us, it's for us to experience also new things. I think this should be the something new. Do something new to experience new things. Make sense? Huh? So it's good. Makes sense. Do something new. Do something different. Do something what God is asking you to do, actually. To experience new things. Peter was the one who decided to do something different. So, Lord, okay, you can come to the boat. You can help us for sure. You did before. You can do it again. But the Lord said, you want to come? Come. Because Peter decided. So, Lord, I want to do something. I want to do something new. I'm not afraid of the new. Church, we shouldn't be afraid of the new, because revival will bring new things for us, for this church. Revival will take us out of the comfort zone. Revival will take us in a position that's going to be new, maybe chained in this church, or moving or staying or doing something different, one service, two service, three service, maybe changing job, maybe changing this, maybe getting married. Getting married is something new. Don't be fear of the new. If the Lord is telling you, get married. If the Lord is telling you, move. If the Lord is telling you, give up this. If the Lord is telling, jump on the water. It's new for you. I've never walked on the water. It's new. I'm afraid of that. No, be courageous. Because He is calling you. But it's something new. Nobody's doing that. I want to go with the majority. No, now it's time to do what God is telling you to do. This is the way it works. This is the way it works. So don't be afraid of the new. Sometimes people say, oh, nothing happened in my life. I've heard people say, oh, my life is boring. Nothing happened. So are you doing new things? If you are not doing new things, nothing new is going to happen. You are doing the same thing every day. I want to see the power of God moving in me. I'm just praying the way I pray for the last 20 years. It's not working. So pray a little bit more. I'm helping one person a month. It's okay. I can do it. But help somebody else. More people. Do something new. Or I just give some money. Oh, give some food. Give some love. Love someone like you've never loved before. Then the result will be like more love toward your life. Give like you've never gave before. Oh, that's new. Okay, but you see the prosperity like you never saw before. Treat your wife like you never did before. Something new for you. Doing good things for her, of course. And then what is going to happen? You see your wife doing things for you like you've never seen before. Treat your boss differently. Instead of cursing him, bless him. And then you see something different. The result is going to be like you're going to be promoted. Work like never before. Oh, that's new for some of you. Not you, them. For always. I don't know how to use the for someone. Outside. But if you want a promotion, do something else. What I'm saying is this. When God calls us, it usually it's something new for our lives. Grab the microphone and sing. It's new. Come and play worship. Oh, I've never did that before. Oh, come and preach the word. Yes, good. Go and love that person. Hey, love your enemy. It's always different. Always new. Then you have to jump out of the boat and say, I'm going to love that person that I hate. Oh, Lord, no. Hate is not in my heart anymore. So watch it. Okay, I'm going to love. I'm going to jump. And nobody, everybody's saying, that person did that for you, against you. But now it's your calling. When you love the person and you walk on the water, so the result will come. And people will see the result. And they'll say, wow. And the end, to finish this, the guys inside of the boat, the last verse 33, the last part of the 33 verse says, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are the Son of God. They recognized that because they saw what Peter did. They recognized that because they saw what God did. So it doesn't matter the circumstance. Take courage. Step out of the boat. Face something new in your life. If something new in your life and God is God saying come, it's God saying do it, do it. Don't be afraid. He said to everyone, even Peter and then the other ones, don't be afraid. It's me. Why just Peter decided, okay, it's you. I want to walk. I want to do like you do. I see like that. Delson, don't be afraid. Preach revival. Preach baptism in the Holy Spirit. Preach the word of faith. Preach grace. Preach giving. Preach this. Love people. And I'm stepping on the water to do that. But everybody, all of you are hearing the same message. And you guys, step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. So now we have this church out of the boat, facing miracles every day. Because when we are out of the boat, we are going to face miracles every day. Every step, because every step Peter gave, he was a miracle. And people usually say, "Yeah, but he starts sinking. He started sinking because he saw the circumstances." We see circumstances in our lives every day. Again, but God told me that Paul said, God told me I have to be there preaching. No, the way I preach it here, God said, I'm going to preach in Rome. So it doesn't matter if the storm comes. Doesn't matter if the ship just get destroyed. Doesn't matter. God said, if you take the plane tomorrow for some trip and it start like shaking, and say, I'm going to die. No, because the Lord said, go there and do something. You know, I believe that. That's why I'm preaching. Amen. Did you receive? Because I'm going to finish from here. We still have communion. We still have communion. And communion is going to be like that. Can the ushers please help me with the communion? The worship too. Worship team, if you want. No, take courage. Take courage. God was able to bring you until today. God was able to help you to get here today. So He's helping us every day. If you have something from the Lord, it's getting too hard, believe He's going to bring you to that position He called you to be. Amen? Can you bring here? I want to pray. Because this is we are doing this in remembrance of Him. You can stand if you want. We are doing in remembrance of Him. I'm going to read that. Hallelujah. You know the 1 Corinthians 11. What the Bible says is this: For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." I'll come back a little bit. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed." You know, do you believe He was facing a tough time? He was. That night He was betrayed. From that night, you know what happened with Jesus Christ. He was facing that problem. Nobody was following Him. They actually denied Him 3 times. And then, no, He was facing problems, troubles. But because God called him and said, you know, you are going to fulfill this. And he believed in the Lord. Said, even if I die. So I'm saying that. If I die, God will raise me from the dead. If this happened, God will bring me back. Because I have to fulfill this. Of course, I take care of my life. Of course, I take care of my health. My health. I of course, or I should do it. But no, I'm not afraid of dying tomorrow. I'm not afraid of dying tomorrow. I'm not afraid. You know, I'll sit there. You know, if I die, I'm not afraid of dying tomorrow because I know everything God put in my heart didn't happen yet. Didn't happen yet. So some people, and somebody comes, this is another thing, but another half time, a half hour. But you know, sometimes people say, oh, somebody died with 33, 36, 37, it's too young. So I know there's a generation, I know there's something. But when I was thinking about Jesus Christ, he died with 33. John Baptist died young, almost the same age. Paul, Peter. So you know, we have something, I'm not scaring you, okay? So maybe I fulfilled my assignment and I can die tomorrow. Now, Lord, take me, you know. But we don't have to be afraid of anything. If you feel like, no, I didn't fulfill my assignment. So don't worry. He's protecting you. He is protecting you. But if I fulfill everything and I'm 60 and the Lord said, it's done. It's okay, Lord. Tell Patricia. And then I'm leaving. But anyway, he was betrayed, but he didn't give up. No, probably the Lord said, Jesus, take courage. It's almost done. Take courage. And this is the word for you today. Take courage. It's almost done. Amen? Take courage. Really, step on the water. If you need to step on the water, if you need to do something different, do something different. Amen? But he's gonna help you. Amen. Hallelujah.